I think that it would be safe to say that Raymond is a picture of a joyful giver. The guy's smiling when he's doing it, amen? And I think that's a good lesson for us, to smile when we put our offering in, amen? But even more so, I want to start seeing some of you guys do this. I think that would be kind of cool, watching that happen. We are on lesson or week number 29, God Establishes the Priesthood. And we'll be finishing out Leviticus here in a couple of weeks, going into the book of Numbers. And you have a week off next week because we're not going to be meeting in here next Sunday with the fellowship happening down there. So you have a week off, but we'll be on lesson 30 in the coming week that follows. And if you opened up your Bibles and want to turn to Leviticus chapter 8, again, this is another chapter. There's only four lessons in Leviticus, and so they are having you read quite a bit of material of Scripture. So I hope you're taking time to go over it. I'm going to kick off just a small portion of chapter 8 of Leviticus to kind of set the tone for the whole lesson here that we'll be looking at. But as we get ready to do that, let me first off look at the next word we have here. It is the word eternal. We're pretty familiar with that word. The definition is a real simple one. God has no beginning and no ending. Now, out of curiosity, anybody have a verse of Scripture that would validate that statement? Huh? He's Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. Anybody else? Another one? In Psalm 90 and verse 2, remember, it says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So we see that's what eternal means. And by the way, the only things that were created as eternal beings were angels and man. Those are the only two things that were created with eternity in mind. The verse there is up there, Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And so we serve an eternal God. So when we go through these studies each week and look at Leviticus and we see the typology that's here and the picture is pointing to the coming Savior, it's all about the eternal God, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our lesson here, we're getting into is God establishes, I need to go back, God establishes the priesthood in this area here. And I want to begin reading on day one, where ultimately God set apart Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. And I just want you to look at the first few verses of chapter 8, because we don't have time to read all 36 verses. But look what it says in verse 1. I want you to get to the foundation here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. And gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. So as we establish right off the bat again, this is not Moses' doings. This is God declaring to Moses what he wants done. And he wants Moses not only to know what's responsible of him to carry out, but who's involved, Moses and his sons. But also notice that the congregation is being declared that this is what God wants done. God wants his people to understand that he, in our New Testament time, is still the head of the church. And he'll have his established leadership within that. But he also wants that never leaves the congregation out. He always wants everybody to be equally involved in what's taking place. And of course, he begins with verse number 6 of our statement here. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and he washed them with water. They begin to have this cleansing that takes place. The Bible tells us, now are ye clean through the word which I've spoken to you. God cleanses us through his word. God has ordained Christian believers as priests today. And so we are a kingdom of priests, which brings us into our first lesson, day one. God set aside or set apart Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. Now, let's look at the questions here that you answer, and then we'll take time to see if anybody has something they want to share on that chapter, this chapter or day one. The first question we had this week was, what job did God give to Aaron and his sons? Who wants to start us? Real simple. The priesthood. He is establishing for the first time priest here. Very important. And it's a pattern that he's establishing for the very first time. The second question was, what did the 12 stones in the high priest's ephod represent? The 12 tribes of Israel. Would you all agree with him on that? He's about to tell you who the 12 people are here in just a second here. We have the 12 sons of Jacob, or the 12 tribes of Israel. And where are they at in this picture here that we're talking about as a high priest? Right there. Bob's going to tell us the names of the 12. Go ahead, Bob. So all of them are in a breastplate, different stones representing each one. So whenever, and who's wearing that, by the way? The high priest. How often does the high priest wear that? Once a year. What day is it on? Day of Atonement. And where is the priest going, the high priest going when he's wearing that? He's going into the Holy of Holies to offer the blood upon the mercy seat. With that in mind, who's allowed in the Holy of Holies? The high priest alone. But he's taking with him the 12 tribes of Israel on his heart. Okay? Just think about this, because he's making intercession on behalf of the people. And you and I, when we are praying and interceding for our family and our friends or whatever, you're actually, when you're bringing them up, you're bringing them from your heart. They're on our hearts. That's why we're bringing them and interceding for them. The next question they asked here is, who did Aaron offer sacrifice for and why? We're kind of touching on that already, but who did he offer sacrifices first off for? Huh? That's it. Yeah, and Israel, and why? Correct. All right, very good. So he had to have his sins forgiven first, and then he was going in to intercede for them that God would forgive them. When he did that on behalf of the people, this could be a trick question. Did God take away their sin? He covered their sin. Is that important? He didn't take it away. He covered it. When did our sins get taken away? John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God which takes away, that he, Christ, would be our high priest, but he would take our sins away. Old Testament sins were covered. It would just build up and build up and build up and be covered until it came to Calvary. Boom. And then everything, it's kind of like a snowball effect now, and it hits the cross. So yes, he offered those. Who has some thoughts here on this first day of the five when God set them apart? Who has a thought they want to share, to add?
Thank you.
Okay, good. Let me ask you this question, just out of curiosity. Why Aaron? Why Aaron? Why was Aaron chosen to be the high priest? Because he was brother to Moses or sister to Miriam? Or think back, because this is something that God's instituting right now, correct? We're seeing here in Leviticus. This is being instituted by God, calling for Moses. Here's what you're going to do. Have the do this to Aaron and his sons, and you're going to do this before the... So this is just now being instituted. Was Aaron just now coming into the picture of what God was doing? No. Where do we see Aaron for the first time coming into the picture here? With he was the mouthpiece. Is that what you just said? Correct. He was already... Remember Moses' excuses. He couldn't talk, right? And they said, I'll use Aaron. Okay? So Aaron's already entered as a mediator between Moses and them. Now he's going to be the mediator between God and man in that setting now. So it's already was in God's mind in preparing the hearts of the people. It's going to be just something that's easily accepted. It's kind of like when we ordain deacons, if you would, or and I'll just stay with deacons right now. The Bible doesn't say go out and find deacons, and then they have to be qualified for that position. The Bible says go out and find men with these, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. And it told the people, you go find these people that you know have those characteristics, and then you bring them as deacons. You don't become a deacon because you're elected to be a deacon. You already had the character of a deacon. And that's what we see with Aaron. He already had the character of what was needed for the high priest because he was already fulfilling it before he became it. And so it's just little things that we need to see that may seem insignificant, but God is always making sure something's prepared before he has a need for it. And so he's using us as the same way, in the same way. Anybody else? Somebody else had a thought that they were saying. Glenn, did you have something or somebody else? All right, day number two then we'll move on to. God goes from setting apart Aaron and his sons to serve as a priest, and then Aaron did his job as the new high priest. And that's in chapter 9, and we'll read a little bit of that. And it says, and it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. So now he's beginning to lay down the requirements. What is required? It could not just be any type of animal. You couldn't just offer what you wanted. And it had to be not just a certain type, but it also had to have what requirements? The animal that was being offered had to have what requirements, ultimately? No blemishes. Nothing wrong with it. That means you are taking what is of yours and offering the best. Not the least, not the mediocre. It had to be the best. Again, what's this a picture of? Say it real loud. Yes, exactly. Did God offer something mediocre? No. Did God offer his best? Absolutely. The sinless Son of God. Look what it says here on our the first question. What did Aaron have to first offer, or why did Aaron have to first offer a sacrifice for himself? Paul, you leaned towards that already. What was the reason? Yeah, but he's the high priest. He shouldn't have to need anything, does he? Oh, he's a man too. Okay, I'm glad that you're bringing that up. Because the Bible tells us that what about men that we know about? All have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. So no matter who you are, there's no what? No perfect person. There's nobody that escapes. When I was in New Hampshire, there was a denominational group up there that believed, if you talk with the pastor, he believed that he hit a place of what they call sinless perfection. They That church teaches sinless perfection, that you can come to a place where in your life where you are no more sinful. You don't carry out sinful thoughts, words, or deeds. I so much wanted to talk with his wife and ask her some things. But I just want you to understand that there is actually churches, and not just individuals, but denominations that teach that you can hit that level. It's usually, by the way, not always. It's interesting. There's some denominations that take certain stands on things, but they're not as... But then within the denomination, some of them don't. For instance, the churches of Christ are pretty solid in some teaching and preaching, but a lot of them believe that baptism is part of your salvation. There's a new generation of Church of Christ Christians who I've talked to who believe that baptism is vital and it's important. They that gladly receive the word should be baptized. But they do not, they have clearly told me, they do not believe it's part of salvation. They just believe sometimes it's neglected as non-essential. And so that's why they emphasize. But there are groups that believe that you can, well, Althea's not here. I've reached it.
That
hedges
on works salvation.
It does. I've reached sinless perfection. I just don't say it around my wife. I don't want to try to...
It's not here.
I don't want to prove it, you know. Well, I let me explain my sinless perfection first. There was a time where I actually thought I was wrong about something. I ended up being right.
Well, we need Althea now.
Yeah. So here we have this area that even Aaron needed a cleansing. Had he gone in without cleansing, he could not represent the people. Think about that. Because if Christ was not the sinless Son of God, he could not represent you and me either. Amen. Let's look at another thought here, and then we'll see if there's any more. When Aaron obeyed God, what happened to Aaron's offering? Somebody knew. What happened? Bob? It got consumed by God. He burned it in fire. You know, a lot of times when we read in the Bible, we're all familiar about Elijah and the fire coming down. That's not the first time fire came down in Scripture. There's Solomon offered a sacrifice on the temple. Whoa, fire came down from heaven again and consumed it. So there's a lot of things there. What is the purpose of worship? What's the purpose of worship? Anna, you started to say something real loud. Okay, yes, very, very clearly. Good. Now, who has some thoughts on day number two about this area, this new high priest, his job? Okay. Very good. So for us to have an effective prayer life, interceding on behalf of others, whatever it may be, we too have to be cleansed. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. 1 John 1:9 says, yeah, I know. 1 John 1:9 also tells you that if we confess our sins, because if we go before God with sin, does he hear our prayers? Does he hear the prayer of a Christian who has sin in their life? Unconfessed sin? No. Your sins of iniquities have what? Separated between you and your God, and his prayers, your prayers he will not hear. So very clearly we see that. Anybody else before we go to day three?
That includes the occasional thought too, brother. It's not just deeds.
Correct.
Omission or commission, whatever it may be. It's also the thought life.
Correct. Yeah. The thought life is just as bad as the deed life.
God sees it all.
Yep. And by the way, usually the deeds are linked with the thoughts. You can't have one without the other. So almost it's you're guilty of all three crimes, if you would, whenever you commit one.
Well, I think that
Correct. Self gets in the way quite a bit. Matter of fact, it would call into question what you're talking about, Paul. How many churches gather on Sundays to worship, and how many people within any congregation are in true worship? Because the Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how much, what's the opposite of spirit? Flesh. There can be a fleshly worship taking place that is not accurate, even as we come and walk away as if we've done something for God, and yet it was not a spiritual worship that God was, that was acceptable to him. Aaron's offering was acceptable, and we know that because of the fire of God that it consumed it. And God doesn't send down fire perhaps today to consume an offering, but it would sure be interesting if he sent fire down to consume something so that we could see that it was accepted of him, you know. And so it's just something we always have to be conscious of, that it's not only the worship of somebody, it's the, John the Baptist said it best, he must increase, I must decrease. And there has to be a decrease in us, in our worship, because our focus is upon him. Day number three, we get into some interesting part of the teachings here. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, did not treat God as holy. In chapter 10, we'll go ahead and read, there's seven verses here. We'll read these. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. So I want you to understand before we even go on here, they knew what they were doing was wrong. This is a willful thing because it says they're offering strange fire before the Lord, which he, God, commanded them not. So evidently there was something that they weren't going to be doing. Clearly, don't use this. Glenn. Correct. Correct. Yeah. Yeah, it's a strong, very strong word. And so evidently, it's clearly in God being a God of instruction, correct? He made it very clear, here's what you will offer. I mean, he made it clear with Cain and Abel what was acceptable, and Cain willfully offered whatever he wanted. They're willfully offering, doing it their way, because God, or else it would not have put in here, God commanded them. Why did it put that? Because he told them, this is not what's acceptable. Verse 2, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elizaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, which you would do if somebody died, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. So let's look at a couple of questions here and then open this one up. It said, what did Nadab and Abihu actually do? What did they do? They burned. They offered incense, strange fire, in a way that was unacceptable to God, that they knew. They knew. I really believe they knew. The second question is, how must we worship God? It's the next question. It's an interesting answer. What's the answer say?
Obedience to God's word.
Doing what God requires of us, not what we think that we can just do our own thing. So it's all worship must meet the requirements of God to be acceptable. And then when Nadab and Abihu disobeyed God, what happened to them? Fire came out. I don't know how to, my mind gets too visual on things. I got a very good imagination. I would just see it coming out and just scorching them, and they drop. Boy, I mean, just burn them and drop them dead right there. Now, who wants to comment on some of this here? Where do you get strange fire at? What does it mean, strange fire? There's fire, there's a censer, there's coals of fire, and then there's incense on it that's burning. The incense, by the way, the incense are a representation of what? Prayers going up, okay? So, was it bad incense? No. Was it a bad censer? No. It says it was what? Strange fire. The fire. I'm just throwing that out there. It says it was strange fire. The incense would still go up. How can fire? Glenn made mention it was like adulteration. Correct. Correct. Okay, somebody had their hand up. Susie? I mean, not Susie. It does. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. Because the heart is what made the decision to use the different fire, evidently. There was already something happening there that was going to go against. We're not doing it. We're going to do it where it looks like it's God's way. And by the way, I want you to understand that nobody knew that the fire was strange except God. Nobody knew it was Judas Iscariot except God. Nobody knew that Ananias and Sapphira were lying except God, and then he revealed it through Peter. So our worship may look the part, and nobody will know, but the all-seeing eye of God sees the heart of man. So let me ask you this question then. And we didn't take time to read it because there's so much to read. Where was the fire supposed to come from? Where was the fire supposed to come from? Here's a Bible teacher here. Huh? Say that one more time. What do you say, Peggy? Fire from God. Okay, yes, exactly. But where the fire that was in the censer was brought from where?
From the altar. The burnt offering altar.
It was brought from the
burnt offering altar.
They would take coals from the burnt offering, put them in the censer, take the incense, put it on top. That means that if it was strange fire, there had to be fire coals taken from somewhere else. It does not state where they came from. It just states that it was the wrong coals. So they must have taken it from somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe they were running late for church. Hey, just grab these here. It'll work, you know, barbecue briquettes, you know, or something. I don't know. What's the purpose that any of us disobey the Lord? It's a lack of respect. Shortcuts. A lack of reverence. There was no reverence for the. Listen, because we keep using like the word Lord and God, and we can use those. But ultimately, he says here that they did that which the Lord commanded them not. So actually what we're seeing is there's a lack of reverence and respect for the word. Are you with me? Because it's what...
Passage, I think it's Paul said, talked about will worship.
Will worship, he did.
And I can't remember if that ties it in with that or not, but I think it does.
I mean, how many of us can justify doing something that we know goes contrary to the word? It's not that we're ignorant of the word. We willfully justify and reason ourselves that this is why we're going to do this. I can reason a lot of different things. Yeah, and so this is what we're seeing here, and God does not allow that, especially as he's ordaining it. If he let this go, remember, nobody else knew that it was strange fire, but God did, and he can't. And so here we see the vital importance. And by the way, let's take this the next step here, and we're all getting close to time here. Let's take this another step here. That carried over on Aaron, the other nephews that came into the picture, everything. They could not, what did God tell them they could not do, basically? They could not mourn the loss. Aaron just saw or witnessed his boys burnt to a crisp and drop. Guys come in, grab them in their robes, carry them out. And you cannot mourn. Don't take off anything and mourn.
Because emotionally, you're saying that God was wrong in what he did.
Correct.
You can't do that.
Correct.
Exercise his judgment. You can't do that.
It would be hard as Aaron not to, but Aaron had enough understanding and had seen enough of God work that he fully understand that God is right in this decision. Correct. Correct. Yeah, folks, understand that God is very meticulous about every little detail, everything. And we, as the creatures, must understand the Creator, how meticulous he is, and that nothing will get by him. The eye of the Lord is upon all that we do, whether he sees the good or the evil, nothing gets by him. You can't secretly do a good deed that God doesn't see it and will reward it. You can't secretly do a sin and get away with it where he won't allow the reaping.
So that includes when Rusty was talking about deacons, right?
Rusty's not hearing you. Real quickly here, day four, we've got two more days. We've got 2 days to cram in just a few minutes. How do you cram days into minutes? Day four, it gets into us. All Christians are to worship God in holiness. And there you have the book of Hebrews that we jump over to. But look at the question here. It says, what have we received from God that is so great. What's in your answer there? God's Son. Yes, God's Son, Jesus Christ. And how should we respond? Two things were given to you. Reverence and gratitude. Notice the order. Reverence first, revering who he is, what he has declared. That's reverence. And then thanksgiving, gratitude, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And then how does Hebrews 12:29 describe God? Interesting. Our God is what? a consuming fire. A consuming fire. The fire that consumed sacrifices, the fire that consumed men who sinned against him. I mean, God is a consuming fire. When he came down on Mount Carmel, it was lightning and thunders and a great smoke. What are some ways that we show reverence and awe toward God? What are some ways? Yep. What else? One. Yep. Yep. Okay. Anybody else? Prayer. Yeah. All of these are areas. And then because of time, day number five, unless anybody has any thoughts here before we go on. Don't let me rush you. If you got a thought, say it. It may be a blessing to somebody else. Day five. Jesus is the great and holy high priest. Amen. Well, the first question is pretty easy to answer. Who is the great high priest? We know it's Jesus Christ. How does Jesus do the job of a high priest? Okay. He ever lives to make intercession for us, right? What else? Anything else? He offered the Son. Is the high priest offered the sacrifice. You know, he's the one, remember, after the resurrection, it says he had to depart to his Father. And I believe at that point in time, he ended up before the Father in heaven and took the blood and put it upon the mercy seat.
That fulfills the...
Correct. Remember, the tabernacle is only a picture of heaven, of what's in heaven. So there's a mercy seat. He took his own blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven as the great high priest. And now he is set down and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And what does Jesus offer us as our high priest? Salvation. What else? Holiness. Be ye holy for what? I am holy. Is that a command or a suggestion? That's a command. Be ye holy. What do you think he said to Nadab and Abihu? Be ye holy. You are the holy priesthood of Israel. And they did their thing. They defiled themselves and sinned against God. You realize what would happen if God operated today as he does sometimes in the Old Testament? Lying to God. Boom, drop dead. Hey, here comes your wife. And by the way, why did Ananias and Sapphira, do you know why he came in and she came in hours later?
Shopping.
She was shopping or having her hair done, I heard so. Next lesson, not next week, next lesson is God ordains the Day of Atonement. This is when that high priest goes into the holiest of all. So you'll have 2 weeks if you want to go. Take 2 weeks to go over it, you can, or you can take a breather, either one. Let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer here. Be in prayer for Wednesday night. Be in prayer for Brother Bob. I think Don Follett will be back by next Sunday. I think Melody, is Melody supposed to be back next Sunday? Or she? I think they're both going to be back. And then also Debbie DeRay had to go out. She was going doing some mission things on her mission thing. So she had to be gone today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for the cooler temperatures. Thank you above all, Lord, for your word, the instruction that you give us, and help us, dear Father, to revere you and the word that you've instructed us to follow. May we be a holy people, dear Father. Just pray now that you give us all a great week ahead of us. Pray in advance for those that are traveling that will be back, Lord, from their cruises and areas that's taken them away. Give them safety in their return. Continue to pray right now that you'll open the door for Bob to continue on, dear Father, with his having an ability on the job to have Sundays off. So just pray that you would take these little things, dear Father. We leave them with you and trusting you to hear our prayers accordingly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.